Welcome to the AI Hustle Podcast, the podcast where we break down the latest in AI news, tools, and interview experts helping you hustle and do more using AI. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you'll know that over the last 6 months, I've been working on a stealth AI startup. Of the hundreds of projects I've covered, this is the one that I believe has the greatest potential. So today I'm excited to announce AI Box. AI Box is a no-code AI app building platform paired with the App Store for AI that lets you monetize your AI tools. The platform lets you build apps by linking together AI models like ChatGPT, Midjourney, and 11 Labs. Eventually, we'll integrate with software like Gmail, Trello, and Salesforce, so you can use AI to automate every function in your organization. To get notified when we launch and be one of the first to build on the platform, you can join the waitlist at aibox.ai. The link is in the show notes. We are currently raising a seed round of funding. If you're an investor that is focused on disruptive tech, I'd love to tell you more about the platform. You can reach out to me at jaden@aibox.ai. I'll leave that email in the show notes. There are a lot of AI alarmists out there, people that think AI is going to be the end of civilization. And I, for one, am typically quite an optimistic person when it comes to AI. But I do try to be fair and balanced and cover some of the dangers of AI. If you see my reporting on Inflection AI, you see this is, you know, something that I believe deeply in. Essentially, if Inflection AI, I believe in its current, its current ideologies are a threat to humanity. It believes that the ecosystem and ecology and animals are just as important or more important than human life, which I do think is a severe problem if we start integrating them into healthcare and the military. But today on the podcast, I did want to talk about someone that is quite a high profile person that is currently sounding the alarm on some possible dangers of AI, and that is Google CEO Sundar Pichai, who currently says that Google is being really intentional in limiting Bard's AI capabilities because of some harm, well, quote unquote, it can cause a lot of harm. And specifically what he's talking about, and I do think this is an issue. For me, when I first kind of saw this news story, I kind of brushed it off and said, hey, like, whatever, this isn't important, everyone knows about this. But essentially the issue he's talking about is deepfake videos and AI and deepfaking everything with AI. And for myself, I've tried out enough AI tools that at this point, I don't really trust any audio, video, or image I see online unless there's credible sources backing up, you know, where it came from. And I think social media kind of amplifies this. I want to talk about what he specifically sees issues with and some solutions I believe we'll see in the industry. So without further ado, let's jump into it. So kicking this whole thing off is the fact that Pichai recently made some comments during a conversation on CBS's 60 Minutes, right? They do those 60 minute interviews with high profile people. And he told the interviewer, who is Scott Pelley, that Google is essentially placing limits on its Bard AI to prevent misuse. This is something interesting because this is one of the first times I've actually heard that Google is intentionally placing limits and limitations, making Google Bard essentially less powerful or quote unquote useful. But I guess then the question is, you know, what are those use cases? But he says, quote, it will be possible with AI to create, you know, a video easily where it could be Scott saying something or me saying something that we never said. It could look accurate, but, you know, on a societal scale, it could cause a lot of harm. So the reason why they're placing these limitations on Bard and on their AI models is because of the harm they perceive as being, you know, possible that it inflicts on society. And specifically, you know, he's talking about like deepfakes. And I think here in the US, in any case, a lot of people are kind of concerned about this. We have an election coming up, and this is going to be a big hot button topic. I know this is going to happen. Okay, here's what's inevitably going to happen. A bunch of these AI companies are one way or another going to be used by someone who makes some sort of deepfake of their political candidates from the other side, saying something dumb, it goes viral, and whether that's like ChatGPT that writes the script, it doesn't matter. Like, of course, these things are tools, but these companies will get blamed. After the election happens, the opposing party, whoever lost, is going to find out cases that the AI was used to deepfake, you know, their candidates, and they're going to say, that's why we lost the election, whether that's Republicans or Democrats, this doesn't matter, this goes both ways. And there's going to be a congressional panel or committee hearing. And they're going to pull the CEO of Google and ChatGPT and, so OpenAI and Microsoft, like those guys are all going to get dragged in front of a congressional hearing, and they're all going to be grilled asking questions why their AI created, you know, dangerous misinformation and deepfakes that impacted the election. Okay, that's going to happen. And I'm not sure about politics in other countries, but I'll tell you right now, I almost guarantee that scenario will happen. Quote me on this in 2 years. In any case, or, you know, right after the election, a year, a few months after the election, whatever. So I think these guys are kind of covering their butts at this moment. They're kind of trying to cover their tracks and say, look, we're like, you know, we're essentially making our AIs less powerful. OpenAI is like, hey, we're not developing GPT-5 yet. And Sundar is like, look, I'm not going to, you know, make BART as powerful as it could be because of, you know, we're aware of this issue. And so even if something does happen, well, not if, but when inevitably one of these tools are used for, you know, writing the script for a deepfake video or making an image or a video or whatever, inevitably when that happens, these guys are going to say, look, we knew there's a possibility. We put safeguards in place, somehow it got around it. We're really sorry, but we were trying back then and we're trying now. We're going to do better, blah, 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 blah. That's just what's going to happen. So I think that's one issue that these guys see, like, from a political perspective, because they know that these the political parties have the ability and have kind of lobbied or threatened in the past to, you know, break up their companies. Google is currently in an antitrust lawsuit for some acquisitions they made with Google Ads. Meta was threatened quite extensively before, I believe, the last election, that, you know, Democrats specifically said they were considering breaking up Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram. You don't really hear a lot of talk about that anymore. Not sure quite what the reason for that is, but it seems that Meta's okay now. We're not worried about them. But these companies, and yeah, I bring up Meta because obviously they have a massive AI play. This is all going to be pretty on point for them, pretty relevant for them. But in any case, this is what they're worried about. And so I think this is where they're kind of trying to watch themselves. And it's interesting, this interview, Pele, who's interviewing him, he said, is BARD safe for society? To which he got the response, the way that we've launched it today as an experiment in a limited way, I think so, but we have, but we all have to be responsible in each step along the way. This is kind of funny. He's like, how we launched it today, it's an experiment in a limited way. Like, all of the, you know, he's trying to give all of the disclaimers possible to say, look, this thing is new, experimental. You know, don't mind that we're going to roll it out to a billion people. Whatever. I'm actually not mad about it. I think it's awesome. I just think it's funny that they all have to be so apologetic. Not funny. I mean, right? There's some seriousness to it, right? But yeah, it's just a lot of politics involved with AI right now. I think it's got the power to disrupt all industries. A lot of people's jobs are impacted. And so they're trying to be as diplomatic as possible. That might be a better word than, you know, political. They're just trying to be as diplomatic as possible. So he did say that's one part of it. One part is also that we get the user feedback and we can develop more robust safety layers before we build, before we deploy more capable models. So I think currently the AI models are already capable of generating fake info. We've seen, you know, pictures go viral that came out of Midjourney of the Pope in the puffer jacket and Donald Trump getting arrested by the police in New York, or they're like attacking him and he's trying to fight his way out. These things go viral. It's already quite capable of doing that. And then I think, you know, right now there's the whole problem of, you know, audio files now being super easy to clone someone's voice using something like 11 Labs, or apparently, you know, there's new tools that came out of, I believe, Meta that make it so you can clone someone's voice with 2 seconds of audio. So, like, there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen that obviously makes it a lot easier to deepfake a video when you have a flawless voice of them. And so Pichai, he also went on to say that Google does not always fully understand the answers that Bard's AI provides, offering an example of the program appearing to teach itself Bengali despite not being trained for it, which is super, super interesting, right? So, like, Google did not train Bard to speak Bengali. There wasn't a lot of texts. I don't think there's any Bengali texts incorporated into the training model necessarily, and somehow it appeared to teach itself Bengali, which it was not trained for. So there's, like, a lot of things they don't understand about these AI models, and I think that's another reason why they're trying to be diplomatic and cover their tracks and give all the disclaimers, is they don't necessarily know what will come out of this. And of course there's the aspect where they're like, yeah, we're worried about deepfakes, but, like, let's be real. Deepfakes are a human going and making a deepfake, and, like, anyone, like, with AI where it's at today, hacker group in Russia can go spin up some sort of AI models that can create deepfakes or harness technology to do it, or a political group in America. Let's be honest, not everything is hacker groups in Russia, although those are exciting boogeymen. But like China, just as likely, groups within America itself, groups within any country doing this for any country can spin these things up. And so I think that's less scary. Like, humans are going to just do that. People are going to do that. That is what it is. I think what's slightly more alarming in this entire conversation, in this entire discussion, is that last sentence there where Pichai talks about the fact that Google's Bard has taught itself things that it was not trained to teach itself. And I think that's what, in my opinion, is a little bit more alarming than how people use it for fraud or whatever, because people are already fraud. That's already an existing thing. If it gets more prevalent or worse, of course that's not good, but it's already exists. This, though, is something new. Like, if the AI model is teaching itself something new, it's concerning what it could teach itself, especially if it has, dangerous ideologies that all of a sudden it starts to adopt or incorporate, as is the case with, like Inflections Pi. Like, was Inflections Pi trained by its creators and trainers to have a bias towards deep ecology and not value human life, or did it teach itself that, right? That's like a spooky question you could ask yourself. So Pele said, "You don't fully understand how it works, and yet you've turned it loose on society." Yeah. And then Pichai responds, "Yeah, let me put it this way. I don't think we fully understand how a human mind works either." Ooh, wow. So that's a zinger Pichai let loose, which is the fact that, yeah, we don't understand how a human mind works, and yet we turn them loose on society every day. So, I don't know. It's kind of funny. I mean, at the end of the day, one of them we're intentionally creating and integrating into our stuff, and the other one is a mystery. So, anyways, there's a lot of philosophical questions there and a lot of different things to think about. But overall, I think AI is making some really big and positive changes. And I do think, I do really appreciate the fact that Sundar Pichai came on the 60 Minutes and did this interview so we can see where his headspace is at, to see where he's thinking, where he's coming from, how things are being integrated. I mean, we recently had the news that, Google is having their Palm, or their Med Palm 2 model integrated into Mayo Clinic and integrated into healthcare. So I think it's important that the CEOs are really transparent, come and do these interviews, talk about where they're coming from, talk about where AI models are at. We really start having those conversations. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here, what is put in place, and mark your calendars and see if my prediction is correct, that all AI CEOs are going to be in a congressional hearing in the next little bit, post the next UX election, explaining misinformation, deepfakes, and all that kind of stuff.
If you are looking for an innovative and creative community of people using ChatGPT, you need to join our ChatGPT creators community. I'll drop a link in the description to this podcast. We'd love to see you there, where we share tips and tricks of what is working in ChatGPT. It's a lot easier than a podcast, as you can see screenshots, you can share and comment on things that are currently working. So if this sounds interesting to you, check out the link in the comment. We'd love to have you in the community.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Hustle podcast. If you could do us a massive favor, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. This helps people find the podcast. It helps people know this is a good place to go. And we would really, really appreciate it, as it helps us continue to bring on incredible guests and share incredible content for you to listen to.